CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Monday's edition. As we start off this brand new week, we once again want to welcome you to the program. We set this time aside, answering questions about the Bible from the Bible, look at current events through a biblical perspective. What we hear in church, is it even in the Bible at all? And hey, you might have a question you want to ask us, especially today, as we have with us Brad Dacus, attorney at law, and it won't cost you $500 an hour to ask the question. You can just call, and Brad will do his very best to answer those questions for you. His law firm, Pacific Justice Institute, represents people like you and me and organizations against unfair governmental laws and business practices. And so if you've got a question again, you want to ask us, 8888. Ask CSN's the number to call, and you can be part of the program. Joining us today, Brad Dacus. Hi, and welcome, Brad.
Oh, thank you. It's great to be on the show.
Always look forward to Mondays. We get a lot of times legal questions throughout the week, and I'm always glad that you're able to come on and let us know what our, not only our rights are, but, you know, what is really right and wrong. And I really appreciate you doing that because, again, in these days and in times, to hire a lawyer just to ask a question, like I said earlier, is $500 an hour. And so thank you so much for being on the program and taking care of all us folk, you know?
Yeah, no, it's my pleasure, and I appreciate serving, as does the many attorneys who work for Pacific Justice Institute all across the country. We handle about 4,000 to 5,000 requests for assistance a year, all without charge, and we have a better than a 90% success rate just getting things resolved without litigation. And then those that we do have to sue, then more cases than not we prevail. So we love to help people, and it's a real joy to do so.
It is, Brad, and I want to thank you so much for all that you've done and helping everybody and getting people's jobs back after the whole COVID vaccination fiasco. And again, still a lot of the people that are permanently damaged from this vaccination where things did not go well. And so it's really, really a good thing that we have you on our side. I see that you came up in some legal documents concerning Biden, and PJI was mentioned. Tell us a little bit about this, because I think it's really, really important.
Yeah, I do too. So the Trump administration's Department of Justice, they did a thorough analysis of the dealings of the Biden Department of Justice and found in a nearly 900-page report all kinds of weaponization of the Department of Justice to specifically to go after and target Christians or conservatives, people who believe in the Bible, people who are followers of Jesus. And it was very, very alarming if they're pro-life, that it would be used as like the KGB or the SS or some kind of something from a totalitarian state where they go after political enemies or people who don't have the same ideology of those in power, if you will, during the Biden administration. That's what we were dealing with. It was shocking. So I wouldn't expect that from, say, President Bill Clinton or Jimmy Carter or, you just don't expect that. And frankly, I didn't expect it from the Biden administration. Maybe I was naive, but so they were targeting and attacking different groups. And then on page 770, they decide it was revealed that they specifically targeted Pacific Justice Institute, our organization. And here's how they did it. They wanted to make sure that people who knew about Pacific Justice Institute would not be on the jury. So when there was some cases, some pro-life cases and things like that, they couldn't discriminate based on religion per se and say, are you a Christian? Couldn't do that. But instead they said, so have any of you heard of, are familiar with at all, the Pacific Justice Institute? And if any of the prospective jurors raised their hand, they said, you're removed, you're excused, you're out. Blatantly. And so if you knew who PJI even just was, you're removed from the jury. And I was just really astounded. You know, there's some discretion. You have both sides can remove different jurors that they think are, you know, different, you know, bias, but they can't do it based upon religious beliefs or faith. And effectively, that's what they did. And so we're looking into our options right now. But it was very disappointing, and we were not the only organization. I think we're the only legal organization of our kind that was attacked. I think because we're one of the greatest threats to the Biden administration and what he was doing. But it's very, very disturbing to see that. And fortunately, we have President Trump, and his Department of Justice is going after all kinds of tyranny that took place during the prior administration, and we're very grateful for that boldness, that courage, and that integrity.
That's really good, Brad, because, again, if we don't stand up for what's right, what's wrong will prevail. And I think this is one of the things that God's called all of us to do, is to be salt and light in a very dark, very bland world.
Yes.
To the phones we go. 8888. Ask CSN's the number to call. We have Lois on the line, Utah. Hi, welcome.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I have two questions. The first one is, when the rapture happens and the trumpet is sound, is that trumpet heard in heaven, or will we hear that trumpet sound on earth?
I believe we will hear it here on this earth, those that are born again. I do not believe the world hears it. And the reason why I do not believe the world hears it is because the Bible tells us that a strong delusion will be sent on the people that they believe a lie. If everybody heard the sound, somebody would figure out that was the trumpet blast, the rapture. We find it also mentioned in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. It says, I heard a horn, a blast in heaven, and I believe that's where, of course, it comes from. And it says that it will be, he says, actually, the exact wording, I'm just going to read it to you because it's important, because when we go into the Greek, it actually is pretty incredible, because this is found in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, and it says, after these things, the word these things in the Greek is the word metatalta, and it means immediately after what you just read about. And what did we just read about in chapters 2 and 3, the age of the church? It says there are these things, and there was a door standing open, and the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking to me, saying, come up here, and I'll show you what must be after these things. Again, metatalta, after the things you just read about. So, understanding that, I believe that we hear a voice come up here like a trumpet, and I think this falls right into what Paul there in Thessalonians was talking about. Brad, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that goes right along with the general character of God, in that he loves us, he wants a personal relationship with us, but he doesn't want to force himself on us. He wants us to always have that freedom. And if we have something like that, where we're hearing it, it's clear, there is no freedom to accept or reject God. And it's sort of like when you get married, you don't want, you know, just to make it so that the person has no choice. You want a relationship where they want you, they want a relationship. And that's the same way our Heavenly Father is. He gives us the freedom. And in order to do that, I think this goes right along with that basic character that we see play out by God to give us that choice to accept and reject him. And in so doing, the non-believers would not hear the trumpet because that would effectively take away their choice to reject God and have that free will to do so.
Yeah, otherwise you wouldn't have to have a strong delusion to be sent on the people they believe a lie. They'd go, oh, that was a trumpet, I missed it. Okay, so Anna, Lois, I hope that helps.
Yes, that's great. And I just have one other question.
Sure.
The marriage supper of the Lamb, is that taking place after the rapture and before the second coming of Christ, or is it during the thousand-year reign?
No, I believe you have it right. It's after the rapture and before the thousand-year reign of Christ. Brad, your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think that's absolutely right.
And I believe this is part of the award ceremony. Jesus gave the parable. He said a man was given 10 talents, another one five, another one one. And he went on a journey, came back. What did you do with the 10? He says, well, I went out and invested, made 10 more. What did you do with your five? I went out and made five more. And then they came to the guy that had one. What did you do with your one? He says, well, I knew you were a hard man, always trying to reap where you haven't sown. I just buried it. And he said, you wicked, lazy servant, take it away from him and give it to the man who has 10. And then they said, well, Lord, he already has 10. And he said, to everyone who has, more will be given. I think it's just simply a way of God rewarding people in what he does. But again, I hope that answers your question for you.
Yes, it does. Thank you.
God bless you. Dear, stay on the line. If you like, send you a little book called Time to Grow. We send that out to everybody that calls. If you stay on the line, we'll get one of those out to you. And if you get any other questions, Lois, we're here for you, okay?
Thanks so much.
God bless you, dear. Thanks so much for the call. Let's go to Ann, Wichita, Kansas. Hi, welcome.
Hello.
Hi, how may we help?
I have a question. So if you were looking for guidance and you wanted to ask God for a sign, then, well, let's say you asked to open up to a specific page in the Bible, like in the New Testament. And then if that actually happened, is that like a valid way to seek a sign, or could it be coincidence, or is it even possible that Satan could have any control over that? What do you think?
Generally speaking, that is not the way we determine the will of God. I heard a story one time about a man that did that. He just closed, okay, God, what am I supposed to do? And he just opened the Bible up, pointed his finger at the Bible, and it says, Judas hung himself. Oh, he closed his Bible and says, well, I'll do this again. That must have been a wrong number. And he opened up the Bible, pointed his finger, and he came to the verse where it says, go ye therefore and do likewise. So we don't really use the Bible as a rabbit's foot. We use it as line upon line, precept upon precept, is how we gather the knowledge of God to help us. Now, again, I believe this is where prayer comes in, not just willy-nilly, you know, making random pointing at the Bible, but I do believe that as we read, I think the Holy Spirit will talk to us in what we are to do. And so I think that, again, when we devote ourselves to Jesus said we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, not just a willy-nilly, you know, open your Bible and point your finger, because that oftentimes can either mean nothing. You can just point at something that, some non-relevant verse, or it's just not a way we determine what God's will is. I think we find God's will by, as the Bible says, by at knocking, asking and seeking. And those words in the Greek are repetitive. Knock and keep on knocking, seek and keep on seeking. And I really believe that is the way we do it. And I trust God to close doors if he doesn't want me to go down that path, or open them if he does. And that's how we determine where God wants us to be. Now, obviously, if the Bible says something is wrong, should I shack up with my girlfriend? No, the Bible tells you don't even have to do that. The Bible says it's wrong. Find this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. So we don't have to pray about some things where the Bible's already told us not to do it. But if we're trying to seek, as an example, you know, God, do you want me to go to college? Well, first of all, in order to go to college, I'm going to need a scholarship because I don't have any money. So, Lord, if you'll provide me a scholarship, then I can go. If no scholarship comes, then I realize that God has a different path for my life other than to go. Now, if you pray and you did well on an SAT score or something along that lines, and the college calls you and said, we've been reviewing scores, you are in the top 10% of your class, we'd like to award you a partial scholarship, you say, whoa, God, that's pretty good. But I always give it to God. I think, you know, the Bible says to pray without ceasing. And what does that mean? Bring everything to the CEO of your life. And I pray, if you're born again, that we realize that that's who Jesus really is. And whether I'm buying a car or seeking a job, or just putting my 2 feet on the floor in the morning when I get out of bed. God, what do you want me to do for you today? And I think that makes a lot of difference. Your thoughts, Brad?
Yeah, asking for the Lord's direction, that should be a part of Christian living. I always think to myself, if something is capable of causing me stress or anxiety, then it's something deserving of the attention of the Lord and bringing it to the Lord. And so I remember when I was in college, I learned this. I hated taking tests, but I just hate it because I wanted to just score high grades, and you know how that works. Well, I learned that when I started to take a test, especially in law school, I said, okay, God, you and I were going to take this test together. And I'd hit a hard problem and say, okay, Lord, you know, what should I do here? And I brought him into the test. He and I took it together, had less anxiety. And, you know, I think it's just a real part of healthy Christian maturity, the degree and extent to which we acknowledge the Lord in all our ways and I'm still working on this. I'm still growing in this area myself. I don't pretend to have arrived, but it goes right along with really being mature and really seeking the Lord, asking for the Lord. As far as opening the Bible randomly, I'll say sometimes I have done that and I just know for sure. I think, oh, clearly that was the Lord, you know, directing me to that page. That was such a bullseye. But, you know, we can't treat it like it's, you know, rolling the dice or something that's like, okay, here we go, random. Then we're really testing the Lord. And, you know, we don't want to, you know, we really want to listen. Listening is not just, you know, treating the Bible like it's some kind of a voodoo thing, but to hear the voice of God. And sometimes that voice comes seemingly, you know, randomly, and sometimes it's part of regular Bible study, and we just need to be open to what God's saying with a heart of truly being open to what he wants and not what we want him to say or just a quick, easy answer without communing with God and seeking the Lord.
You know, and to say that God would not do that. In other words, if you open the Bible, Lord, what do you want me to, you know, and you open the Bible. I'm not saying God can't do that. Of course not. God can do anything. But I'm saying, generally speaking, a overview of our life for direction, line upon line, as the Bible says, reading through God's word, this gives us the heart of God. And then from that heart of God, we can make good, solid decisions. Because let's face it, we're all living in the decisions that we've made. And if you don't like where your life is at, you need to change your decision-making processes. And the Bible says that we surrender our ways unto him and let him direct our paths. It's going to go a lot better. And I hope that helps.
All right. Thank you for your help.
All right, dear. God bless you. Stay in line if you like. And let's go to Michael, Fort Worth, Texas. Hi, welcome.
Hi. I just was wondering, like, I feel like one is like, what? How should I deal with, like, you know, this fear that I feel like Elon Musk is he's planning genocide and he's using AI at a, like, rapidly alarming rate, and I feel like he's throwing a coup of our government, and he's like infiltrated all our government systems, and he's built like infrastructure to. If everything were to be shut down, he has like the energy infrastructure. He has 10,000 satellites to provide internet, and now he's mass producing AI robots in secret, and he hasn't revealed it yet. But he has two factories that are mass building them, and I feel like he's like duping the Republicans in government. Just because they're mad at the left or whatever, but he has an agenda, a Nazi agenda, and if anyone were to mass murder millions, it would be Elon Musk, and he has ties to the Nazi party. His grandfather was arrested in Canada, and so I feel like no one sees that, and I feel like our country is in a huge crisis that no one really realizes yet.
Well, I think we are in a crisis, but I don't think Elon Musk is the problem. I think the Communist Party is the biggest problem the United States faces right now. When I saw President Obama and Mondani together, Mondani and avowed communist socialist together over the weekend, this is to me of great concern because we realize that everything that Mondani is saying to the people of New York is exactly how they come to power. Promise the world, deliver nothing. And that's the way they've always been. Vote for me. Everything is free. And he even, Mondani even quoted Margaret Thatcher that communism works until you run out of everybody else's money. Well, what you need now is a real socialist to straighten it out. No, you don't. Socialists are the enemy of the United States. Always have been. This is where the government controls everything. The very thing that the people, our forefathers, left Europe over was the government controlling everything. And it is interesting to me that the more any party comes into power that wants to take your hard-earned money in the name of taxes and give it to who knows what, bullet trains nowhere, like in Southern California, that even Governor Newsom really hasn't really come clean on where all that those billions of dollars went to the Somali daycare centers in Michigan. All this stuff is all secretive, all under the table. I don't really understand all of it. But they did ask Elon Musk a question, Michael, that I think you need to be aware of. They asked Elon Musk, of all the things you fear, what do you fear the most? And that would include nuclear war, famine, climate change. And he says, the thing I fear the most for human beings is AI. Now, friends, I think that's a pretty dynamic statement coming from somebody that knows all about it, because I think he understands the potential of what it could do. And believe me, Michael, Elon Musk is not the only one that's got his fingers in the pie concerning AI. It's in all of your major governments around the world right now. You don't think China is working overtime in AI? Coming up with computer codes to crack our security department in our military to steal our plans. Listen, this is a global issue. And I believe this is all part of an end time scenario. You know, Revelation chapter 13 talks about this machine, this beast that has been given breath to so it can speak. It doesn't say it was given life, but it was given a way to communicate. And the more I look at what really AI is and what its potential is, the more I'm beginning to think that this thing that we find in Revelation chapter 13, yes, the same chapter that says you will not be able to buy or sell without the mark, name, or number on your hand or on your forehead. Friends, it is a real mark, name, or number. It's not what you think. It's not what you do with your hands or the way you think with your head. No, it's a real mark, name, or number. That's what it indicates in the Greek. That's what I believe it absolutely is. It's showing your allegiance to a anti-God, one world order. And the Bible says if you take that mark, you will never go to heaven. Doesn't matter who says you will. Oh, but there's this, oh, we have this pastor, he's so well known, John, and he says, oh, you can still take and be forgiven. No, the Bible says, chapter 14, you will not be forgiven. And that's exactly what the Bible says. So when I see this, I have to realize this, whatever it is that keeps track of all the people on earth that has this mark, name, or number on their hand or on their forehead, has got some tie into some really amazing computer programming, some really amazing AI infrastructure. And I believe this is why the Bible can be so emphatic about you're not going to be able to buy or sell without the mark, name, or number on your hand or on your forehead. Your thoughts?
Yeah, there's a lot of happening right now. AI is, the concern of AI is not unfounded. The fact you have someone like Elon Musk making that statement, who is a genius, someone who I highly respect for his intelligence and his major breakthroughs on multiple frontiers, space, automotive, et cetera. So I think it needs to definitely be taken into consideration. My caution that I think is important is, for number one, is first we want to be aware of what's true, what's factual. It's easy for things to be extended out from factual to speculative. And with that speculation, it's fine to speculate, but not to act on speculation, much less allow fear or anxiety to develop from that speculation. And that's real easy to do, especially when we look at how rapid things are happening. So, for example, someone may say to themselves, well, here's the facts of the end times. Israel became a nation, and a number of other things that we see taking place that are pointing to the second coming of Jesus. That's a factual observation of what we're seeing. Speculation is when we say, well, and I think Jesus is coming in the next 30 days. It's okay to, you know, act based on the facts that we know and be wise and discerning for the day and the hour. But it's not wise for us, say, to sell everything we have and go up to the top of a mountain for 30 days and wait for Jesus to come. That would be acting based on speculation. That would be consuming. That'd be almost acting based on even fear, if you will. So I just want to encourage you to dissect that which you know and that which is speculative. That which you know, look at it, be educated, be aware, and act responsibly. That which is speculative, observe it, but be careful not to act on it because the consequences could be very, very serious. So just a little word of wisdom there. I take it for what it's worth.
Yeah, Michael, and the other thing we have to be aware of is a lot of where people are getting their information, maybe you, is from the American news media, and it is totally corrupt. So you have to remember that. In fact, just about anything they say, I believe the opposite. Hey, we're coming up on a break, everyone. Don't go away. We're going to have a whole lot more right after this.
After taking the morning after pill, this mom immediately felt sick and nauseous as she tried to end her pregnancy. While searching for medical care, she found a preborn network clinic where she had hoped to rule out that she was pregnant.
I had an ultrasound done right then and there. After hearing the baby's heartbeat, I instantly thanked God and said, may your will be done, Lord. I'm 7 months pregnant now. I thank God every day for my little miracle.
Preborn is the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the country, introducing moms to the life growing inside of them and sharing the gospel in action. When a mother meets her baby in ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, her baby's chance at life doubles. To learn more, dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250, baby, or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible.
Let's see, if something costs less, a lot less, but people are actually happier with it, that sounds like something to look into. And that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard joining MediShare can save you or your family up to $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true. People are just happier with it. They love being part of something that reflects and promotes their values and what they believe in. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years now, and members have shared more than $8 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network, so yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care, whether you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan that you're happy with. Here you go. You can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes, a very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. It's 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE, 855-91-BIBLE.
We want to welcome you back to part two of Every Man an Answer here on this Monday afternoon with Brad Dacus from Pacific Justice Institute. Again, a team of lawyers representing people like you and me against unfair governmental laws and business practices, things like this, for free. Whoa, man, that's a lawyer that I've never met before, but well, we have him on the air with us today, Brad, and I want to say thank you again for all that you've done for so many churches, so many individuals, and you do it free. I just, this to me is This does not compute in my head because, you know, attorneys are the $500,000, $2,000 an hour people. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you. It's we've got a great team. We're always looking to hire attorneys to add to our team across the country. So if there's an attorney listening to this and they say, well, I've done some litigation and whatever, and I might be interested. They don't have to have done constitutional law per se. You know, we love to work with them. We have our own development training program. And so we have everything as a team. So I encourage people to contact us if they want to be a part of our team. But I'll tell you, Pastor Mike, we have an incredible team of attorneys that we work with. And it's really fantastic. We lift up the Lord. We have our Zoom calls every week, and we have prayer. We have devotion time. We know where our strength comes from, and it's just no accident that we have the very high victory rate, success rate with our cases across the country. We know it's God's grace and His divine inspiration in leading us in much of our strategy and our cases and our briefings.
Amen. Well, I'm really glad, Brad, you're there for us. And back to the phones we go. We have Dimitri on the line in Oregon. Hi, and welcome.
Oh, how you doing? I had a question. I have a friend whose wife is a Seventh-day Adventist, and he said this past week he went to some big compound that they have, and in Oregon they're planting a bunch of fruit and vegetables. And one thing she said to him that was really strange, that it's heavily armed. Now, can you please explain, because the church teaches something called Sunday law, where it's something like that's going to be instituted, and all the Seventh-day Adventists have to run from the cities into these kind of places of refuge. And also from a legal standpoint, can a Sunday law actually be instituted by the, I was listening to something about like the Constitution wouldn't even allow that.
No. And that's, I have never heard that. I believe that's 100% made up. I think it's sometimes they circulate rumors like that for cohesiveness within their congregational members, you know, but I've never, ever heard that. And Brad, have you?
No, this is the first I've heard of that. And, you know, I don't even see it being, I think it's very skewed in terms of their denomination, the Seventh-day Adventists. This is something I've never heard of before. It's sort of going back to what I was talking about before, where people it's okay to speculate certain things, but then to act on them and invest your life in it really doesn't make sense. Now, do I believe they should have a right to have these communes? Yeah, should the Second Amendment give them the right to bear arms and protect themselves if someone invades their commune? Yes, I think what happened in Waco was a horrific tragedy that happened during the Clinton administration that people may or may not remember it, but it was a cult, and they had a commune, and they were armed, and the government just felt compelled to take them down. And so doing, the government ended up killing, basically massacring those who were there in the cult. I'm not a member of that cult. I didn't like what the cult believed. But those are two things to watch for. One is people getting into this kind of eccentric extremism based on speculation that's not proven and it's not mandated even by their denomination. And then number two, my second concern is the government coming in when they should just leave them alone and let bygones be bygones. So that's those are the two concerns that I have when I hear a story like that.
Yeah, Dimitri, and that doesn't mean that the Seventh-day Adventists believe this across the board.
Right.
I know some Seventh-day Adventists. I actually know some that I really believe are born again and have a good relationship with God. They've realized that they are not generating their own righteousness by not eating pork or worshiping on Saturday. They realize that their righteousness comes from Jesus Christ and Him only. If they want to choose to worship on Saturday, that doesn't bother me at all. Mike Fabares, who I have with me usually on Fridays He has two Sunday morning services and a repeat of that the night before on Friday night, on Saturday night. So, I don't look at that the day so much. I think we should take a day off a week and enjoy what God's given us. You know, the world has a saying for that. Well, you know, you got to keep your old nose to the grindstone. Well, yeah, and you'll burn yourself out, and you'll look back at your life, and yeah, you might have a big fat bank account and never enjoyed a minute of it. That's a sad thing. You'll find others, though, that 6 days out shall work, seven you'll rest. I know guys that won't work, girls that won't work any day of the week. They're lazy. They just don't want to work, period. So you'll find those on one end of the extreme and those on the other. But I think we should take a day off and enjoy what God's given us. And if you're a paramedic, a cop, maybe your day off is a Tuesday or a Wednesday. Hey, just take a day off and enjoy what God's given you. Find some Bible studies, find some fellowship to get involved with. But I really believe that's important to do that. But as far as this particular group, it could be a spinoff. It could be a cult. I don't know, attaching its name to maybe Seventh-day Adventism or, you know, who knows what else. We don't know. But the thing is that I know, and I don't believe Brad knows of any such proposed law at all, saying you can only worship on Sunday. I think that correct. Is some really wild-eyed, radical, made-up extremism, personally. And yeah. I hope that helps. Dimitri, I hope that answers your question for you.
Yeah, they believe Ellen G. White, their prophet, said that the Sabbath, you know, the Saturday Sabbath is the only true way.
Ellen G. White said a lot of really kooky stuff. That was their prophetess. She said that the mark of the beast was just what you did with your hands and what you thought with your mind. Well, why would that be any different during the tribulation than from the beginning of time? Man's problem has always been what he thought and what he does. That's always the way it is. But the Bible clearly says that it is a mark, name, or a number on your hand or on your forehead. And for her to come along and say, well, worshiping on Sunday is the mark of the beast, just simply shows she really didn't know the Bible at all. And I'm sorry, that's what really the Bible says. We're not saved by keeping the Ten Commandments. We're saved through Jesus' blood on the cross. Mm-hmm. And again, the minute that we go, the minute you try to add anything to what Jesus did on the cross, you know, it's wrong. How are we saved? Well, Jesus died on the cross and you got to keep the Ten Commandments. Well, Jesus died on the cross and you have to join our church. Jesus died on the cross and you have to stand on your head. Go door to door, sell flowers in airports, you name it. It's all out there. They got this whole potpourri of all this kind of crazy stuff you've got to do. We're not saved by that. If we could be saved by generating our own righteousness, by worshiping on Saturday, not eating pork, Jesus would have never had to die on the cross. We would just had to hone our skills in a little better. But the Bible tells us that the Ten Commandments were never meant to justify a man. It was meant to show us how desperately we needed a Savior. And so this is why I appreciate the gift of God of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what makes the difference. Dimitri, I hope that helps.
Amen. Thank you very much.
God bless you. Stay online. Send you a little book called Time to Grow. Maybe you can get it into your friend's hands. It might do them a lot of good. Let's go to Darlene, Olympia, Washington. Hi, welcome.
Yes, I have a question. I know this is going to sound crazy, but my two-year-old grandson, he's now three, but when he was 2 years old, sitting in the high chair, and we were just having a good time, and he happened to be looking down, and he looked down with his left eye, and he darted up at me, and Mike, I'm not joking, I had a spiritual attack against my own body, and it was spiritual, and I felt a evil presence, and I'm talking about my grandson, and I know I'm not going nuts, and now, you know, they're saying he's got some autism now, but he's doing a little bit better, but he's got extra strength, they keep saying,
But my husband also witnessed this. My daughter does see this look, but she's not. She says she's a Christian, but I don't believe to the point. Her husband says he's Catholic. But then her husband's cousin was demonically possessed, supposedly, and they were from Peru. They took the woman to Peru to get the exorcism out of her. And I'm thinking, was there something brought into the house? But Mike, I'm not kidding. This 2-year-old little boy, this look he gave me, I sincerely was attacked physically. I'm talking about spiritually in my heart of soul. And I gasped like, just like that out loud. And my daughter goes, what's wrong?
Wow. Brad, your thoughts?
Well, is there a demon possession? Well, yes, because the Bible says so. And there's nowhere in Scripture that says demon possession is going to stop after Jesus rises from the dead. We don't have that in Scripture. So can we have demon possession? Yes. I am not an expert on demon possession or exorcism. That said, I would not let this consume you in that. As a believer, there's nothing that Satan can do but by the will of the Father. I mean, you're shielded, you're protected. So in the future, as far as being around that child, you have nothing to fear. Let me make that really clear, number one. Number two, maybe pray for it. Pray for that child that God will work through, maybe give healing. And number three, autism can cause... sometimes a child on the spectrum may look in a way or do things that are not conventional, things that are out of the norm, and may be interpreted that way. Now, your description, though, was very vivid, and so I'm not going to, attempt to challenge what you just said. So on that third point, because that may not be just a matter of autism. But I would not allow that to cause any fear in terms of your interaction with the child, the family, and instead engage in prayer for intercession for the child, for the family, and not to let that bother, moving forward. Satan wants to cause us to be afraid or cause us to feel intimidated. He's nothing compared to the Lord our God, who is our Savior, our Lord, our Master, who goes before us, who is with us always, even in the end of the age. So just keep that in mind and your future interactions with that little guy, and just give him lots of love and pray for him. That's all I can really say.
Well, yeah, and I think that if that arises again like that, I would just say, honey, I just want to read you the Bible right now and go to the book of John and just start in John chapter 3 and just read to him the words that Jesus said and see what his reaction is. Because if he does, just say, in the name of Jesus, come out of him. On the other hand, children can be quite obstinate. I saw a thing one time. It says, puppies prepare us for children, cats prepare us for teenagers. But the point is that when we realize that kids can be quite a challenge, and I believe that, again, when you see this in this child, read him the Bible. Read him the words that Jesus said. If you have a red letter edition, read the words that Jesus said, because that's going to give his mind, his heart, his conscience something to think about versus perhaps what he's been subjected to. Now, as far as the relative that was taken back to South America for an exorcism or whatever, I don't personally think that probably has anything to do with this. I really believe that... This is probably due to a home where Christ is not completely honored. But I think that when you're around your family, your grandson like this, you can certainly read him God's word. I hope that helps, Darlene.
Yes, and I do know this is he loves the song "Come Jesus Come," and he will sing it like he's starting to sing it, you know. So I know that he's not afraid of the word Jesus or anything, you know.
Well, I don't think he's got a demon then. But again, you want to really surround him as much as you can with the love of Jesus in his life, because that's what's really going to make the difference. And to understand that,
yes,
that he needs that godly input from someone. And thank God you guys are there to do that for him. Darlene, can we pray for you?
Oh, yes. And his name is Corbin.
Well, let's pray for Corbin right now. Father, I just pray that you would just touch Corbin's little life, God, that you would protect him from danger seen and unseen, from spirit seen and unseen. Lord, that you would protect his little heart. And Father, that you would give Darlene, her family, the right words to speak to him and to her daughter and her son-in-law to bring them closer to you. Father, to set religion aside and come into a full relationship with you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Darlene will be praying for you, dear. And let me send you a little book. And I want to send you the movie Jesus. If you have a DVD player, you might get him to watch this. He might really enjoy it, okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
Yeah, you'll enjoy it. It's based on the book of Luke. It's not like The Chosen that 5% Bible, the rest is all made up. But this is actually based on the book of Luke. And I think you'll really, really enjoy it. So, Darlene, stay in line. We'll get you taken care of. 8888. Ask the Ascends the number. Call if you want to be part of the program today. We're going to go to JJ in Oregon. Hi, and welcome.
Hey, good morning, Mike. Good afternoon, Mike. How are you doing?
Good. How may we help?
Oh, well, I just want to bring up a movie, and I don't know if you guys have watched it, but it's called A Great Awakening. And have you guys watched that or heard about that movie?
I've heard about it. I understand it's the it's like a biography of George Whitefield and the Great Awakening that happened back mid-century in the 1800s, and how God it had long-term repercussions of that great revival. And everything I've heard about this movie, the Great Awakening, is great. Now, there's a movie out there called The Awakening that is not of God. It's weird, but The Great Awakening, it's a new movie, very, very concise and very well done from every review I've heard on it. And again, exploring the ministry of George Whitefield and the Great Revival. So I hope that hope people can go see that. Have you seen it?
Mike, I went, and the sad part, the reason I'm calling is because it is a full-blown believer in Jesus Christ movie, and it honors our Lord and Savior Jesus. And he's also, it's George Whitefield and his friendship with Benjamin Franklin. And it is also not only a beautiful movie honoring God, but it also shows how this country was founded and what God was involved, how God was involved in that through George Whitefield. And I just want to encourage everybody to go. We've been going to our movie theater, and I've been sending people, and there's like five or six people in the whole theater for each showing. And I just want to encourage anyone that wants to go see a movie that honors Jesus. And it's what it's about, but also the history of it was very, very interesting to also include it. So it was just a great movie. I've been to so many Christian movies, and this one right here, it was profound.
Yeah, and it's based on fact, and they didn't take a lot of artistic liberty or anything like that. It's supposed to be pretty accurate. And so again, A Great Awakening, great movie. Brad, have you seen it?
I have not seen it, but I want to see it so badly. I've been very busy, but my wife has said great things about it. I've heard great things about it. I love history. I love American history. And I like the understanding of the role that the revival played in our nation's formation. I took a Hillsdale course on the colonial America, and they actually talked about this element of the role that faith actually played, something I never heard of in any of my history classes in college or high school or et cetera. So I think it is a great awakening, not just in terms of what happened, but I think, frankly, a great awakening for many of us who've been deprived this valuable truth and information by public education. So I'm looking forward to it, and I know it's I've heard nothing but the absolute best about its quality and its messaging and et cetera. So, yeah.
Great movie. JJ, thanks so much for the heads up, because, again, I think it's always good that when there's something good worth our time to watch, letting people know about it. Another good movie, it's older, it's more of a it's pretty good. It's not a documentary, I think, but it's really good. It's called Time Changers. I would recommend that as well. It's available by going to, you know, most any of your, I think the movie came out probably 15, 20 years ago, something like that. But it was really good, called Time Changers, about a guy from the late 1800s at a Bible college, goes forward into time to see what morality apart from God's word does. And it's really well done. So again,
yes.
Time Changers. Did you see that?
I have seen it. And they had the star on the Love Boat, the captain, his name, Mel. Anyway, he was in that movie. And he was sort of warning him, saying, you don't go into relativism. It's not morality. Stick with the foundation, the Christian foundation. And they were saying, no. And then he goes forward into the future and he realizes how dangerous and what happened when we lost our foundation as a nation. And he was just, it was very well done. It was very entertaining, but it was very, very well done. I recommend that one very, very much.
Great lesson to be learned. JJ, thanks so much for the heads up.
Bless you too. Appreciate all you do. Thank you.
You too, JJ. Thanks so much for the call. Let's go to Cindy, Gainesville, Texas. Hi, welcome.
Hello, how
Hi.
Are you?
Well, good. How may we help?
I just got off of work, and I started listening about 15 minutes ago to the program as soon as I got in the car. And I heard a comment that I wanted to caution, maybe. I don't know if caution is the right word, but ask about. I heard you say that Mondami is a communist. And
well, he says it. He says he's a socialist. I mean, this isn't some kind of a slanderous remark. They take it as a great compliment. So you got to be real careful with this. But yes, and he's also a Muslim. So
I'm going to tell you, he's an Islamist.
Mm-hmm.
Communist and Islamist is different. And he's an Islamist. He was sworn in on the Quran, if I understand correctly.
That's absolutely true. Yes, that's right.
So treasonous, but that's what I heard has been happening. And I've been listening. I just went to a presentation locally here with a gentleman that his ministry is called Truth and Love Ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a Christian pastor that was raised in Iran, came to America. They got out just before the coup, and he became a Christian over here. And he's spreading the word about Islam, that they're dangerous. They're very
well.
Dangerous.
Yeah. See, people mix up Islam with other religions of the world, but Islam, the bottom line of Islam, is global conquest and to establish Sharia law. And you'll find this push in Texas, in Michigan. Brad, your thoughts?
Yeah, it's sort of an area that I almost wish I was ignorant in, because it's so alarming and disturbing when you understand what Islam actually believes, what they teach. That said, in the world, only a Pew Research study was done. I believe it was Pew Research. Worldwide, 15% of Muslims in the world believe that it's okay to kill people in the name of Allah. 15%. Now, in the United States, Muslims in the United States, that's 6%. Roughly 6% of the Muslims in the United States believe it's okay to kill and murder in the name of Allah for the promotion and furthering of Islam. That's very concerning when you realize how many Muslims live in the United States. It can be very dangerous. The majority are not, but the religion itself and those who practice it, yeah, it can be a real, real danger and a real threat to our civilization as we know it.
Amen. And so, Cindy, yes, much to pray about in this world. And with that, we're all out of time. Brad, thank you again so much for being on the program.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
You can check out more of Brad's ministry, pji.org. God bless you all. We'll see you tomorrow.
To receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.